The theme that comes through in the three readings, as we weave our way through the readings, is really one of not being afraid. So therefore, if I was looking for one word, the theme would be fear. Now, Jeremiah, the first reading, the words that he put together as the prophet in 650 years before Christ was born, and he was the prophet that was in station as the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem and exiled the majority of the people to Babylonia. Now, and that Jeremiah ended up being killed by his own people. So he really knew what fear was. And interesting thing about Jeremiah, his words are known as the gospel before the gospel. So if you want to understand the role of the prophets in fulfilling who, in pointing to who Jesus was, Jeremiah is a very good start. He had a personal diary, and he used to write down reflections in his diary, and they were called confessions. And there were five of them they discovered later in history, five of them. And the people who compiled Jeremiah's books put those five confessions in various parts of his book, the one book. And what you're getting today is his very personal reflection. It's like a diary entry. Nobody was read. It was never meant to be read publicly. It was his private thoughts from the experiences that he was living through at that time. And a lot of it was to do with fear. They were living under the fear of the Egyptians, who were on the move from the south, and from the Assyrians. The Assyrians got booted out by the Babylonians, and then Jeremiah was warning the people of Jerusalem and Israel to change their ways. They were always very quick to revert to worshipping false gods. So Jeremiah probably slept with one eye open out of fear. So his fear was real. Paul, in the second reading there to the Romans, talks about how sin comes into the world. And then he talks about how some people live in fear because they're going to break the law. That's a terrible way to live your life. If the law causes fear, then that's not a good law. The law is about freedom, not about fear. But under the Roman rule and where Paul was at that time in the world, fear was once again very real, and there were so many laws. There were the local laws, there were the religious laws, there were the Roman laws. And to try to live in such a complex society is probably not unlike at times, though not fearful, as it's not fearful here, but probably like trying to manage all the bureaucracies in Australia between the very local government and then the state and territory governments and then the federal government, and trying to get everybody to align, and consequently we don't have the same pattern happening with handling the coronavirus. But it's a real tension that would exist, but it was fear, because it was people's lives that Paul was concerned with there, particularly with those that had struggled with the law. Jesus comes along in Matthew's gospel, and he is commissioning the apostles to go out. And he says to them three times in various ways. He says to them, don't be afraid. So fear was very much in the forefront of their mind as well. Now, most of you here tonight should be able to understand fear to some extent. And what Jeremiah, Paul and Jesus is saying to the apostles, and what he's saying to his disciples, that fear you should be able to relate with, though it's not a fear of a police state, but it's a fear that causes us to be extremely cautious. It's a fear that stops us from being free. It's a fear that restricts us, that keeps us bound up. And Jesus is saying to the apostles, you have to let that go. You have my word that you will not ever be left alone. And my word is my life, and my word is your eternal life. And so by the time Jesus hadn't died at this stage, had not gone through his passion. So the apostles would have heard these words, and then it probably confused them somewhat. Did it relieve their fear? I don't think it would have, because the last words in today's gospel are, if you deny me before others, my heavenly Father is going to deny you. If you proclaim me before others, my heavenly Father welcomes you. So there's got to be a fear in there, hasn't there, of, oh gee, if I do this, I'll be right. Or if I don't do this, I won't be right. And that's a very much a part of our human nature. So fear is part of our human nature. Let's get that straight. It's something that all of us have experienced and probably continue to experience at some time during our life. In these last months, the fears would have been heightened, I am sure, particularly for those with any chronic illness, for those that travelled, and for those that may be quite elderly. That fear would have been very real. It is fear, probably, that is keeping the rest of these pews from being filled tonight. Probably. It might be the cold weather. But I suspect there's an element of fear. And any one of you good people could stand up here and tell us about fear, because we all have our own fear. It's what we do with it that becomes the problem. And Jesus is saying, don't let it be a problem. Do not let it rule you. Fear can be a good thing. It's what warns us of danger. And then how we escape that danger, well, that's the Christian life from Jesus' words and his example. And the first thing he is saying is, well, don't be afraid, because I'm going to be with you. So trust me. That's really hard. If your fear is based on somebody else's actions or somebody else's competence, and you don't have trust in that somebody else, that fear will be heightened. If that fear is based on somebody else's actions or competence or lack of competence, then the fear that we have will be heightened. One of the examples that I could give you is that in the Grand Canyon and in several places in the world now, there are walks that you can do out over the canyon, and it's a glass bottom. I think Sydney Tower also has a glass platform around part of it where you can walk out there and you're actually standing, looking at the glass, looking down at the earth below. That's a fear that I have. I cannot stand that. It makes my stomach churn. Yet when I was in the Navy, to jump out of a helicopter and slide down a rope in a rough sea onto the forecastle of a ship, I had no fear at all. And the amazing thing for me, because I used to identify that, because I'm not a big one on heights, doesn't bother me too much, but I'm more aware. But when it came to the Navy asking me to do stuff, and I was with my team or our team, I had very little fear. I had complete trust in those men and women who were guiding me to where I needed to be. So my fear was removed because they had the competence and they had the proven skills, and I trusted them. Sometimes it might be the equipment, which is man-made, that lets us down. But those people I absolutely trusted. So I'd just be saying to you tonight that when we talk about not being afraid, find out what the cause of the fear is. If it's a spiritual or a psychological thing, there are various avenues you can go through. But don't be scared. What I'm saying is take the word scared and swap the letters around. And if you can remove your fear because you trust in God, you won't be scared. It becomes sacred. And that's always something that I've had written in my personal diary, like Jeremiah. Well, for a long, long time, I had make your scared sacred. Swap the letters around. So if you can get that with all of your fears, I don't know how that's going to go with spiders. I'll let you sort that out, and snakes. But that's what I try to do. Turn this fear into recognizing that God is present. And that's why when we say in confirmation, fear of the Lord, one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's not about being scared. It's about being awestruck at the bigness and the beauty and the majesty of God. It is turning what could scare some of us into something which is truly sacred, which is that relationship. And Jesus says to us in conclusion tonight, he says to us, if you want to know how that relationship works, please remember this, that you are valued. We are valued. We're worth more than all the sparrows.